Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 10 past 6 on this Tuesday, September the 25th. You may have heard our discussion a couple of weeks ago with the Capital Times editor Dave Zweifel, weighing in on the debate going on in the community over full-sized ads on some of the city buses for Miller Beer. The city's metro system began selling so-called wraparound advertising, ads that cover the entire bus, sides, windows, roof and all, with an ad for various things or products to help defray the cost of the system and to keep fares down. Zweifel said this was no big deal. He didn't understand what all the fuss was about. He says the metro system needs to raise revenue somehow, as long as taxpayers don't want to pony up anymore, in order to keep fares reasonable for the people who need the system. And he said he couldn't understand why parents thought this was so harmful to their children when they drive by beer billboards on the Beltline or watch sports games in beer-themed stadiums. He said parents can talk to their kids about responsible alcohol use. He didn't think the bus ads contributed to underage drinking. He thought the unreasonable 21-year-old drinking age contributed more to underage drinking. We'll hear from a guest this hour who disagrees with Zweifel, who wants Madison to ban alcohol advertising on the city buses. We'll also hear from a guest expert on alcohol advertising's impact on children, who says there is a link between ad exposure and underage drinking, and that publicly funded transit systems should not be moving billboards for booze. We'll wonder what you think. We'll welcome your thoughts and questions on this issue. Madison isn't the only city that allows these huge ads on city buses. According to news reports, full wrap advertising is being used in Milwaukee, Green Bay, Beloit, Stevens Point, and Baraboo. It could be coming to a city near you. Do you think alcohol ads should be banned on publicly subsidized buses? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, toll free from anywhere, in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Julia Sherman, member of the Alcohol Issues Committee for Capital Neighborhoods in Madison. She's also the former field director of the Center on Alcohol Marketing and Youth. And she joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Thanks a lot for being with us.
My pleasure.
Now, that Center on Alcohol Marketing and Youth is at Georgetown University.
Yes, it is. I worked with Dr. Jernigan for a number of years.
And we will have Dr. Jernigan joining us after 6:30 to lend his perspective to this issue, too. It must have been, a shock to you to all of a sudden see a big ad for Miller Beer in huge gold and black lettering saying Miller Beer when on a bus driving through town?
Actually, I heard about it from a number of people. I received an email from an educator in town who said, "You're not going to believe what I saw this morning." And other people had let me know. So I actually went looking for it. And when I saw it, I really did have one of those jaw-drop moments that we all have, because it was like an enormous, huge, moving billboard that says, "Experience beer." And heaven only knows, in Madison, we do not need to be reminded or told to experience beer.
Yeah, and why do you say that?
Because right now, in the downtown area, every Saturday night is like Halloween, according to the police. We have recently taken steps to limit outlet density, to limit the number of alcohol licenses downtown, to try to keep a lid on the violence. The alcohol-related violence. We've had a spate of personal assaults. Last summer, there was gunfire. All of this got linked to the alcohol. The amount of people in Madison drink a great deal, especially in the downtown neighborhoods. And to have billboards rolling through town that say "Experience beer," it's beyond unwise. It's just bad judgment on the part of the people that allowed it. And frankly, the transit system banned tobacco advertising up front, so I was kind of mystified by why alcohol advertising was allowed.
Yeah. Did you ask?
I did. Actually, I asked some years ago, and at the time I was told, this was before the full wrap, that there just wasn't that much alcohol advertising on the city buses. I think that's changed with the full wrap. And in fact, not banning alcohol advertising on our transit system takes Madison outside of the mainstream. In Wisconsin, we've gotten a little desensitized to the prevalence and pervasiveness of alcohol and alcohol advertising. Many, many, many transit systems ban alcohol advertising. Alameda County, Sacramento, mm-hmm. Chicago, San Francisco. I mean, the list goes on and on. And these are not all California towns. We're looking at Dallas, Washington, D.C.'s Metro, Miami-Dade Transit. These communities have all come to the conclusion that controlling alcohol advertising makes sense, and they just don't carry advertising on their transit system. We should be like them.
We're talking about whether Madison should ban alcohol advertising on the city's metro buses, a debate that's underway in Madison. Ever since, a few of the city's buses have turned into full-sized rolling billboards for Miller Beer. Wraparound advertising now being sold, and one of the buses, or a couple of the buses, I think, say Experience Beer, big ad for Miller. What do you think? Do beer ads belong on a city bus? Does this make sense or not? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you with us on this Tuesday, September the 25th. It's coming up on 18 minutes past 6 o'clock. Coming up this afternoon, it's At Issue with John Munson, sitting in for Ben Marins. A recent report from the Intercollegiate Studies Institute gives U.S. college students a failing grade in civics. And John and his guest will discuss the effect on the political process coming up after 5. We're talking with a guest who says public buses like those in Madison should not be covered in beer ads like some of them currently are, and we welcome your thoughts and questions about this. For her, she is Julia Sherman, member of the Alcohol Issues Committee for Capital Neighborhoods in Madison and the former field director of the Center on Alcohol Marketing and Youth at Georgetown University. And before we go to the phones, Julia Sherman, what about the one of the arguments that Dave Zweifel brought up a couple of weeks ago when we talked to him about this, who said this is no big deal? And what about the beer ads that you see on billboards on the Beltline or these other ads? They're all over the place. Just talk to your kids about this. It doesn't have to encourage them to become binge drinkers.
Oh, that were true, Joy. Mm. We've learned that, in fact, the amount of alcohol advertising that children see does, in fact, impact whether or not and the amount that they drink. In 2006, a study was published in the Archives of Pediatrics and Adolescent Medicine that followed specific children. It was a longitudinal study. They didn't take a snapshot of a community 1 year and then come back a couple years later. It actually followed youth for a period of 24 months. And they discovered, as part of this study, that youth that saw more alcohol advertisements, on average, drank more, and they were actually able to quantify it to the point where for every 1%, for every additional ad the youth saw, they drank another percentage point. Every dollar dropped into a media market per capita resulted in a 1% increase in the amount of underage drinking. It's to the point where, in fact, it does have an impact. Just because there's a lot of alcohol signage in our community, there is no reason to pile it on. If anything, the numbers that came out last week, that compelling report released by the population health folks, the impact of alcohol and illicit drug use in Wisconsin, that should indicate that we should be taking steps to reduce the amount of alcohol advertising wherever it appears in Wisconsin, wherever it appears. We are number one in current drinking among high school students in the nation. We're current drinking in underage drinking in the nation. Drinking among adults, we have the highest rate of binge drinking among adults, among the highest rate of heavy drinking among adults. We drink too much in this state, and it's starting to trickle down to the kids. Yeah. And if we can improve that situation, just by restricting the amount of advertising, that's not a lot to ask of us as the adults to do if, in fact, helps reduce and prevent underage drinking.
Lots of calls here. Let's go to Kelly first in Green Bay. Hi, Kelly. You're on the air.
Yeah. You know, the bottom line is the government's telling us for years, you know, when and where we can and can't have this type of advertising. Madison, of all places, you know, as many restrictions as we have on our daily lives to begin with, this is a publicly funded bus, and they should not be taking money for beer advertising or any that type of advertising.
Yeah, we get that you don't think that the buses should be taking this beer advertising, Kelly, but your phone connection is so poor, I'm going to leave it there. What about, though, Julia Sherman, the argument that, hey, the bus system needs to take in this kind of advertising? Apparently Miller was willing to pony up the big bucks needed to wrap around an ad in order to keep fares down, that the system needs this money.
I understand that it's a controversial debate, and we're not asking them to forego all advertising revenue. I'm just saying that, in fact, they could set aside this one product, like they set aside tobacco, and not sell to them. I'm certainly not suggesting that they take one bus and permanently not sell advertising on it. They're not asking them to forego anything. We're just asking them to exercise a little judgment in who they do sell advertising to.
Yeah, one of the other buses is for the DeJope Bingo Hall. Your group doesn't object to that one?
We haven't taken a stand on that.
Yeah. Rich in Hustisford is with us now. Hi, you're on the air.
Yep, I just want to make the point your guest was making before, was that advertising in Madison is everywhere. And we already have the problems that are going on, at least on the bus. She mentioned one part of what was on the bus, but the other part, it does say drink responsibly on the bus. And if they're going to advertise and it's everywhere anyway, why not give the taxpayers a break? If I'm sure the people at the bus company didn't go out and go solicit to the beer company and say, hey, you know, we want you specifically to come. They probably looked around and they needed the cash coming in. And if somebody else would have ponied up the amount of money it cost to wrap a bus, I'm sure they would have taken them over the beer ad, but nobody else did. So they got the beer ad. I mean, they got all the other buses in the city that they're wanting the advertisement. They want to keep the cost down. And I'm sure they'd wrap another bus if they could get somebody else to come in and do it, but nobody else is. So why not get the tax break since it's all over anyway? And at least it does say drink responsibly on it.
What about that, Julia Sherman?
Well, there's a couple of arguments there. First off, let's talk about the drink responsibly part. The drink responsibly is in very small lettering compared to the rest of the bus. But more importantly, research has proven that these very ambiguous drink responsibly, I mean, what on earth does that mean? They have no effect on people's behavior. They're a placebo that's out there to make everyone feel that there's some sort of prevention message on there, but it's not an effective prevention message. The other point that the caller raises is that, in fact, you could sell this space to other products, and that's true. And, in fact, that's what we're suggesting. This is not the only full-wrap bus in Madison. Right now, a charter cable service has one. It's the local cable service here in Madison. A internet service group has another one. There are lots and lots of places that would like to advertise. All we're suggesting is we set this one product, alcohol, outside of the acceptance set. We won't take this advertising, and we will take the great range of other advertising. So frankly, I don't think it's going to have a fiscal effect. A number of communities don't have alcohol advertising on their mass transit. Miami-Dade County, Dallas, Washington Metro, San Diego, Sacramento, and they're not finding it a financial hardship. If Madison finds not taking alcohol advertising to be a financial hardship, perhaps they need to do a little more outreach on their advertising.
Now, the city, if I recall correctly, did say it would avoid school routes and the like to limit exposure to kids, you know, walking to school or getting off the bus at school. That's not good enough?
No, for a couple of reasons. One, try isn't promise. And the second thing is our children, we don't limit our children, you know, to school and home. They walk the street. They see buses go back and forth during the course of the day. Our children will come into contact with this alcohol signage.
Yeah. Donna in Menominee is with us now. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I have to say that I don't think it's appropriate to have the beer ads on the buses either. However, I did have a question about the study you quoted about the correlation between teenage drinking, I think it was teenagers, and the amount of alcohol advertising they're viewed. I just wondered how in a longitudinal study you would collect either kind of data, if it were just self-reporting on the part of the subjects, which I think would be quite questionable in this case, or if it was some other method.
The study that I'm quoting actually used two methods. The young people were in 24 different Nielsen markets, so the amount of advertising they saw was established using Nielsen ratings. They used only the measured types of alcohol advertising, and they used Nielsen's numbers for that. The amount that the youth were drinking to complete the comparison of how much kids were drinking versus how much alcohol advertising they were seeing, that was done by self-reports.
Now, I wonder, in terms of the Nielsen ratings, was this just television advertisements? I didn't think...
No, it wasn't. Actually, Nielsen measures a whole bunch of stuff. Dr. Jernigan will be on a little bit, and he's really the expert on that. But I can tell you that this particular study looked at advertising expenditures on television, radio, billboards, and newspapers.
Yeah. Donna, we'll talk a little bit more about that study and just research showing the link between youth alcohol consumption and advertising after 6:30. Mary in Williams Bay. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Go to Janesville periodically, and the last time I went there on Highway 14, there's this little bar called Emerald Grove. And on the right side, as you're going through town, right next to two houses, there's this huge Miller Lite. It's got to be as high as a house, Miller Lite bottle in plastic. And it just looks like some kind of a child's thing at first when you go by. But then, you know, you realize what it is. And I don't know how they got it there. I don't know how, why people would want that right next to their house.
Yeah. Well,
is this on private property?
You know, I don't know. It's right next to two houses, and it's on on a green part of the lawn. It's not very, very big. So I'm thinking that, you know, they just found this little... they just found this little piece of property and decided that, you know, maybe they could,
I'm not sure that we can do, Mary, I'm sorry, where was this again?
This is in Emerald Grove.
Okay, well, we have news coming up from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Maybe we'll get our guest to respond to that type of advertising after the news. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 6:36 now on this Tuesday, September the 25th. We are talking about the debate over beer ads on buses in Madison and wondering if you agree or not with our guest who says alcohol ads should be banned on city buses. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. We heard from a guest a couple of weeks ago who said that the huge wraparound ads that the Madison Metro system is currently accepting, and a few of the Madison buses are now covered in big ads for Miller beer, he said that these ads were no big deal, and that parents don't avoid driving on the Beltline because there might be a billboard advertising a beer, that we should just get over it, that these beer ads on buses, not a big deal. This half hour, we will hear a different perspective to that from guests who say we don't need taxpayer-supported buses to add to youth exposure to alcohol advertising. They claim that advertising has a direct impact on childhood or youth alcohol use and abuse. 1-800-642-1234 and Madison 263-1890. We are joined, along with our guest from the first half hour, who is Julia Sherman, member of the Alcohol Issues Committee for Capital Neighborhoods in Madison. We are also joined by David Jurgen, who is Executive Director of the Center on Alcohol Marketing and Youth at Georgetown University. Good morning.
Good morning.
So we were just talking with a caller before news time who was questioning this study that shows that for every additional ad that a young person sees for alcohol, they drink more. Can you tell us more about that study?
Sure. Most of these studies have used self-reports, youth self-reports, as the measure of how much exposure kids are getting to the alcohol advertising. However, there is one study that combined youth self-reports with expenditures in each media market, and this is what Julia Sherman was talking about before your break, I believe. In 24 media markets, they were able to get expenditure on alcohol advertising, and they were also able to get expenditures on alcohol sales. So they controlled for how wet the market was, how much alcohol was actually being sold in that market, and still found a significant relationship between the amount of advertising in a market and how much kids drank. In fact, for each additional ad that kids drank above, ad that kids saw above an average of about 23 a month, they drank 1% more. And for each additional dollar per capita spent in each media market, the kids drank 3% more. So there was a kind of it's a small but significant dose-response relationship.
Yeah. So you think that this research does substantiate or back up the call to ban alcohol advertising on a city bus line?
Well, what we've got in the last about 6 or 7 years is a growing body of studies that have looked at various kinds of alcohol marketing, have looked at it longitudinally following cohorts of kids. Study after study after study is finding the same thing, which is that there is a small but significant relationship between the amount of advertising that kids see and the kids' subsequent drinking behavior. We're in a situation where kids are already surrounded by alcohol advertising. So, sure, it's a legitimate question. What difference does one more set of ads make? Mm-hmm. But this is the number one drug among kids. This is a drug that we definitely want to increase the odds that kids will wait as long as possible to start drinking, because the earlier they start drinking, the bigger the problems. Kids who start drinking before 15 are 5 times more likely to suffer from alcohol problems later in life than people who wait until they're 21. They're 8 times more likely to be in a motor vehicle crash, 11 times more likely to be involved in alcohol-related violence, and so on and so on.
I wonder, Dr. Jurgen, if you can comment on our previous guest who said that the reason why we have problems with underage drinking is actually the unreasonable 21-year-old drinking age, that we have this, you can't touch a drop of alcohol before you're 21, and the kids just want that forbidden fruit.
Yeah, that's really sort of a wishful thinking theory.
Mm-hmm.
It would be nice if we could get rid of the problem by dropping the drinking age. However, other countries that have comparable surveys to us and that have lower drinking ages actually have much larger youth drinking problems than we do. There's a comparable survey done of 35 European countries, and 34 out of the 35 have larger youth binge drinking problems than the U.S., including France, Spain, as well as Germany, the U.K., Ireland, etc. The only exception to that actually is Turkey. There's a major religious effect there.
Yeah. So do you think Wisconsin can blame these bad stats on all this binge drinking and underage drinking, number one in the country, dubious distinction, on On what? On too much alcohol marketing to us?
Well, you know, when the National Academy of Sciences looked at all this at the request of Congress in 2003, they called their report, Reducing Underage Drinking, a collective responsibility. Basically, they concluded there's plenty of blame to go around. We as adults have not taken the problem as seriously as we should have. The alcohol companies have not marketed as responsibly as they can. You know, schools, teachers, policymakers, all of us, I mean, a place like Madison, I read the statistics from your, mm-hmm. and the news stories from your city, you know, on a regular basis, and I have to say, it's not a laughing matter in the degree to which this has become a huge problem in your city. And there are, research has found, there are some very straightforward things that can be done. And the public health approach to this rests on two legs. We need to reduce youth access to alcohol, and that comes through better enforcement of the 21-year-old drinking age and other things. But we also need to reduce the appeal of alcohol to youth, and that's where the advertising does fit mm-hmm. in.
Yeah, take one caller who I think has a comment that is appropriate right now. Jamie in Madison, go ahead.
Hi, thank you so much for having these researchers on your program. We so need to hear about this research. I live and work in downtown Madison, and my neighborhood is drowning in alcohol. Our city Alcohol License Review Committee doesn't seem to be very knowledgeable on alcohol policy. Where do city committees learn more about this kind of information?
Well, maybe that's more for Julia.
Well, there are a number of places that folks can go. I would recommend the CAMI website is a great place to start with information about alcohol advertising. And it does break it down by media market. So if a parent is interested how much alcohol advertising their Madison-based child or their Green Bay-based child, any child in Wisconsin, all the media markets for Wisconsin, you can go on CAMY.org and find out some specific information about that. We do have a need for more education about alcohol policy in Wisconsin, but it's also an evolving field, and it's going to be a matter of all of us who care about Wisconsin and Wisconsin's children keeping the communication going, both through the newspaper, programs like this, and the different entities that support community counties and cities and towns, to explain what we're trying in different places with respect to outlet density. Madison just adopted it. Appleton has a form of it. Two communities in Wisconsin now have keg registration. There are a variety of different steps that Wisconsin communities are taking to reduce youth access to alcohol. Now, as Dr. Jernigan was saying, we need to look at reducing the appeal of alcohol to kids in Wisconsin. And as we're talking about this morning, getting the full wrap beer ads off the buses, that's one way we can go about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our organization mm-hmm. has been monitoring the amount of advertising that kids are seeing for alcohol products since the year 2001. And what we're finding is that the exposure is falling on magazines and radio, but at the same time, it's ramped up just an enormous amount on television, particularly on cable TV, an over 40% increase in the number of ads that kids are seeing on television from 2001 to 2005. So it's not a situation that we can tell is getting better, and anything that communities can do to reduce the level of exposure their kids are having to this kind of marketing simply makes for a safer community and, frankly, can save kids' lives.
Mm-hmm. David Jernigan, thanks very much for being with us.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
David Jernigan, Executive Director of the Center on Alcohol Marketing and Youth at Georgetown University. Julia Sherman stays with us. She is a former field director at the Center on Alcohol Marketing and Youth, now a member of the Alcohol Issues Committee for Capital Neighborhoods in Madison. Her group is advocating a ban on alcohol advertising on the city's buses. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 12 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, September the 25th. Coming up after 7, I'll talk with two guests about the benefits and harm of using animals in research, medical research. That's coming up after 7. The two will be debating tonight in Madison, and we'll hear from them separately after 7 o'clock. Right now, we're talking with Julia Sherman. She's a member of the Alcohol Issues Committee for Capital Neighborhoods in Madison. She says the city of Madison should not be accepting beer or alcohol advertising on city buses. The city's metro system this year began selling wraparound advertising. That means the entire bus, windows, roof, sides, all covered up in a wraparound ad, and a few of the buses proclaim Experience Beer. It's an ad for Miller Beer, and her group and others say this is inappropriate and further encourages underage drinking and wants Madison to ban alcohol advertising on public transit buses. She says many other cities have already done this, and it certainly makes sense for Madison to do so, too. We wonder what you think. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Our lines had been full through most of the hour, and now there's an open line for you, and time for you, too, to weigh in on this issue. Dave in Madison is with us. Hi, Dave.
Hello.
Hi.
Hold on. I gotta...
Yeah, turn your radio, please, down.
It's off.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with your two speakers today about using tax buses for tax-supported buses for destructive behavior advertising, like overuse of alcohol and gambling. But beyond that, I object to the wraparound buses simply because of the visual pollution and in the midst of all the bombardment of the advertising that we have. These are outrageously huge, and I think they're just tacky, and I don't think we need them.
Yeah. Do you think that it hurts kids or encourages drinking, Dave?
I think it does.
Yeah.
I think it's hard to make that connection, but I think the research shows that you've been citing shows that it adds to the climate of acceptance.
Yeah. And that's what you say, Julia Sherman.
Absolutely.
Yeah. They are kind of ugly, too, aren't they?
These are not attractive. I understand the responsibility our transit board feels to take every step they can to keep fares down and make this a financially viable mass transit system. And I applaud them for that. I think in their zeal to raise outside revenue, by including alcohol advertising, they step beyond the line of good judgment. I know that the full wrap is very controversial, and right now it's in a trial phase, which is why it's a good time to set out those ground lines, you know, set out the benchmark of this is what we will accept, this is what we won't accept as we go forward, because after this trial period is over, Madison's going to decide whether or not to keep these as a permanent feature of our metro transit system.
Oh, I guess I wasn't aware of that. I thought that the complaints about these beer and gambling ads, for that matter, kind of fell on deaf ears, saying, sorry, but they're going to stay, at least for the trial period.
Right. Hmm. They have. But at the end of the trial period, I went down and took some of the research that Dr. Jernigan and I have been talking about this morning, took it down to the Transit and Parking Board. And as part of that, what I was told is that the full wrap advertising, all of it, is still in its pilot phase, and that at the end of this basic period, they're going to be looking to see, one, whether they continue it, and two, if it should be continued with any additional restrictions. And what our point is that if they continue it, then they should create a ban on the on alcohol advertising as part of it.
Yeah. When does the pilot phase end?
I don't honestly know. Yeah. I think about 3 to 6 months from now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you're going to, I presume, be at whatever meeting there is to determine the future of the wraparound ads.
Capital Neighborhoods will be there, and actually the board asked some questions specifically about the constitutionality of the restrictions on alcohol advertising. So I'll be back next month to take them the research that respond to their question.
Yeah. Mike in Fond du Lac suggests that the buses should allow space for counter-advertising on the same buses. For example, information about the penalties for drunk driving. What do you think of that?
I think that would be great. However, I don't think it's sufficient. If the transit system wanted to offer any group, Mothers Against Drunk Driving, the PTA, any group, a space to talk about how we could prevent and reduce underage drinking, I think that would be great. However, the best form of prevention is to do everything we can to delay the onset of alcohol use as much as we can, and to support parents. We've had a couple callers, Joy, talk about, you know, this is a parent's responsibility. Mm-hmm. Parents should talk to their kids. Well, I'm a parent, and I talked myself blue about this. But at the same time, I know we need to give parents a fighting chance of getting that message through. We can help parents by reducing youth exposure to alcohol advertising, because kids see so much alcohol advertising anyway that we can't control. Let's control the alcohol advertising that's within our power to control here in Madison, and give the parents, that by and large are doing a pretty good job, let's give them a fighting chance at succeeding.
Thanks today for the call. Irshad in Milwaukee is next. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning, Joyce.
Morning.
I definitely agree with the person who is speaking against the alcohol on the buses. I have two couple of comments. Number one, that on a public transportation, the alcohol or the gambling and or tobacco, which most of the community is going after to basically try to put our kids in a good condition, that if they need the money, I think they should take a look at their internal operational and try to streamline it appropriately. And second, that the statistical has, the survey or the research has proven that most of the advertising really have an impact on our kids. So we really need to take a look at how the public transportation is going after the advertising, selecting the advertising campaign, and they should be looking at different ways to do that.
They should be looking at different ways to make
alternatives to raise the money.
Yeah, alternatives to advertising.
Right.
Yeah. I don't. Do you have a comment on that, Julia Sherman? That maybe there's alternative things to do besides accepting these wraparound ads.
I'm sure they're looking at all ways to enhance revenues. I think that our transit system is trying to be a good steward of our public resources. To that extent, I think they've gone a step too far in allowing alcohol ads. They already knew, tobacco ads are banned on Madison Metro Transit. So clearly there's a recognition there are some products that should not be advertised on public transit. They went a step too far. It's time to take a step back from that, eliminate the alcohol advertising before they go ahead on the full wrap. It's regrettable that we've got two arguments here wrapped up into one, because they really are separate. There are good arguments both for and against the full wrap advertising. I'm concerned about the alcohol advertising. The full wrap alcohol advertising is frankly horrifying. It's eye-catching. It's a billboard. It's all over town. So it represents the worst of the worst from my perspective. But I still understand the transit, Madison Metro Transit, is trying to be the good steward here. And I do hope that they're looking for all of the other possible sources of revenue.
Yeah. Thanks very much, Irshad, for the call. I got another email from Gregory in Madison, who kind of is saying the same thing. I live in Madison and have been a bus rider for years. I always used to enjoy them. But first, my first problem with the advertising is a rider can no longer even see out the windows. And he goes on with other complaints he has about Madison Metro, saying that if perhaps they were more customer friendly, that they wouldn't have to accept these ads. And again, you don't have a problem necessarily with the the wraparound ads, but you do with the wraparound ads for alcohol.
That's correct.
Yeah. Thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure. And Thank you, Joy.
Julia Sherman, member of the Alcohol Issues Committee for Capital Neighborhoods, a former field director of the Center on Alcohol Marketing and Youth. We also heard from David Jernigan, who is the executive director on the Center on Alcohol Marketing and Youth at Georgetown University, talking about research that shows there is a link between exposure to alcohol ads and youth drinking. Our guest this hour saying that Madison Metro should ban alcohol ads on buses, a current debate going on in the community. We thank her for her time and Dr. Jernigan as well, and we thank you for listening and for calling in. If you would like a CD copy of this or any of our talk shows, call the radio store, 1-800-747-7444. Or you can listen online. We archive all of our talk shows on our website, wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.